Hi guys, my name's Adina Shanholtz.
And I'm Tobias Arles.
And I'd like to welcome you guys to Intro to VR with Google Cardboard and Unity. So today we are going to make our first VR game. It's very simple. If you guys haven't used Unity before, that's perfectly okay. If you take a look at my screen right here, I actually have my GitHub repo up. It's my GitHub is a Shanholtz, and the repo is Collect Them All VR. And I, specifically, this demo is underneath tag version 1.5, if you guys can see that.
Awesome. And then there's will be links in below in the description of this video.
Right. So let's jump in. First thing you're going to want to do is open up Unity.
Is there any other special SDKs that I need to download ahead of time or install?
Ah, yes, you do. Thank you so much, Tobias, for bringing that up. Down at the bottom, there is actually a prerequisite section where before you start this video, before we jump right in, what you're going to have downloaded is the Cardboard SDK as well as latest version of Unity. If you guys have that, then we're ready to go. Oh, and also, if you are planning on porting to your phone, you should also probably have those correct modules. So iOS, you have to download the iOS port for Unity, and Android.
Makes sense.
Yep. So first thing we're going to do is in this menu, it'll have a list of your projects, but if you have none, that's also okay. I'm going to click New, and I'm going to name mine Cardboard Demo 1.
And this is, of course, going to be a 3D project.
Right. You can choose between 2D and 3D. I'm going to definitely make sure that 3D is checked, and click Create Project. Awesome. So right here is a Unity editor. Straight up, this is what I see when I open my editor. And let's just go through real quick what everything is. Up here on the top left is the hierarchy. This is going to be a list of all of the game objects that are in your game.
Can you zoom in on that for us? Can you zoom in on that?
I can. Hierarchy. And right here we have two objects. Main camera and directional light. Those are the only things that are in my scene right now. The next thing is the project view. Right here, this tab below hierarchy is the project view. This will be where all of our assets are. Anytime we want to import a new, or we want to make a new script or new material or something like that, that'll go in our assets. Over here in the middle, we have the scene view and we have the game view. The scene view will give us we will be able to view the level we're building from all points of view, and the game view will be what the player is going to be seeing. Over here on the right is the inspector. If we click on any game object, you'll see a whole bunch of stats come up for it and settings. We will go over some of the more specifics of these settings as we create more game objects in our game.
Now, if your Unity editor doesn't look quite like this, that's okay. Unity has many different default layouts. And so if you go down, I believe it's the Window tab, you can try different options to make it look like this, which is one of the default layouts, or just use your own if that's what you're more comfortable with. All the same stuff. It's just how that information is presented.
If you look over at my screen up in the top right, there's a thing that says layout, and it gives you a couple of different default options of how you can change this view. I personally like mine the way it is right now. I think it makes it easier. I like to see both the scene and the game view just so that I know what my player is seeing as I'm editing my level.
Makes
so
sense.
So anyway,
I said it makes sense.
Yes, it does make sense. So let's jump in. The first thing we're going to do is import our Cardboard SDK. And the way we're going to do this is under Assets, Import Package, Custom Package.
And this is going to get that package that you said we needed to have downloaded ahead of time.
Right. This is the Cardboard SDK. I know I saved mine in my downloads. It's like the only thing that's in my download other than folder. And it's going to import all of these assets straight for me. It's going to ask which ones you want. I'm importing them all. And what you're going to see after they're done importing is two folders are going to pop up. named Cardboard and Plugin. Underneath Assets, we see Cardboard and Plugins. So under Assets, we are actually going to make a new folder next to these two folders called Cardboard and Plugins named Our Assets. So the way I'm doing this, I just right-clicked and then Create Folder. There's also another way that you can bring up this menu. Under the Project tab, there's a little thing right below it that says Create, and then you can click on Folder.
And this is just a peek into your asset folder of your project. So, you know, if you made a folder in Explorer, it would show up here as well.
Exactly. So Our Assets, we made this folder to distinguish what we've imported already from Google. These are the ones that are pre-done for us. And these are going to be the ones we write ourselves, write and create ourselves.
And again, it's not required for the code, but that's just what makes things cleaner and easier for the sake of our demo.
Exactly. In Our Assets, we are going to create another new folder named Scenes. And guess what we're going to do in here?
Put our scenes?
We're going to save.
Oh,
first
yes.
First thing we should do is save our scene. So right here, the File Explorer just kind of pops up our assets. We can click on Our Assets and our Scenes folder and save our playing field. Whoops.
And just to clarify, what you're saving is this initial scene that has the directional light and the camera that was created when you made a new project. And even though it created that initial scene, it didn't save it for us in case we decided we didn't want it. But we've decided, yes, that's how we want to start our first scene.
Exactly. And this will be really good just in case, like, you know, Unity crashes on us and, you
yes,
know.
Always save.
Always save. Always save your stuff. It's the first thing we do so we can keep saving throughout.
Early and often.
So the first thing, now that we've got everything kind of just peripherally set up, is actually start to create our playing field. So the first thing we're going to do is add our ground. And our ground is going to be a 3D plane. So I'm going to make a 3D plane. So I brought this menu up by right-clicking in the hierarchy, choosing 3D object, and then I can choose plane. I can also bring this menu up by going to the little create button that's underneath hierarchy, choosing 3D object and plane. And one other way I can do it is under game object up here at the top, 3D object, plane. These are all ways that you can bring up the same menu. I find it right-clicking to be fastest and easiest. I'm going to rename plane to be ground because this is our ground. And the last thing I'm going to do for it is set scale up over here in the inspector. We see that this thing is called transform. This holds three properties for us: our position in space, our rotation, current rotation of this object, and scale, so the size of it. And I'm going to change the scale so that X is 2 and Z is 2.
It's important to note, too, that of every aim object in Unity, they all have the component transform. It's the one thing that they have in common. It's the one component that you can guarantee is on every game object.
Exactly. And I kind of, you can just see by changing the scale of it, it just kind of popped it bigger. That's going to be really good because this is our playing field. Mm-hmm. And I can see that I'm changing perspective around in the scene. The way I'm doing this, I hold Alt, and this kind of changes it to a little eyeball over here, and then click and drag, kind of change perspective. You can also do this by right-click and hold and drag, but I like holding Alt better.
Makes sense. I definitely would advise doing any unit development with a three-button mouse. It will make your life a lot easier.
Especially since you can zoom in by scrolling.
Yes, that is also very handy.
Right. So now that we've made our ground, we should probably make the borders of our arena. So we're going to do this by creating a 3D cube. So I'm going to bring up that 3D object menu again and choose cube. Straight off the bat, I'm going to rename it to something that's not cube. Probably left border is very obvious and straightforward. And right now you can see, it just popped up, but I don't see where it is. So I'm just going to set it to 000, and right there I can see it now in my scene. Anytime I lose something, I find it helpful to recenter it by changing its origin back to 000.
But it's still a little tiny dot in the center of that plane. Doesn't quite look like a wall yet.
Yeah. So we probably want to, you know, pop it up. That's a little bit too far. But you know what? I think we can actually stretch it out and make it border looking by maybe changing its scale a little bit to something along the lines of this. See, that looks like a wall. That automatically, just said by putting in the values of scale X, as X being 0.5, Y being 2, and Z being 20.5, you can already tell that, like, it just kind of looks like a wall. And I can pop it into place by changing the X position to negative 10. Although it just popped over there on our left, on our left side.
Makes sense.
So I'm going to duplicate that. That was Control D, or you can just kind of right click duplicate. Rename this to be right border. And change its X position to 10.
Positive 10 as opposed to negative 10, and it's on the opposite side.
Yeah, just automatically like that. Well, that was convenient. I'm going to duplicate it one more time near border. Let's change this back to 0. So now it's popped back in the middle.
But now we've got to change that scale, right? So it's stretched the other way.
Exactly. So we can, if we just switch these two values, 20.5, 0.5, there we go. And we can change it, its position, negative 10. Right here, we changed the Z instead of the X. And then I bet you guys can guess our far border is going to change to positive 10. And right now in our scene view, we can see that we have a beautiful looking arena.
Awesome. That looks great and safe.
Yeah. We won't fall out of this arena. But if you can see in our hierarchy over here on the left, it's looking a little cluttered. It'd be really nice if we could just kind of like group all of our borders in one place. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do exactly that. I am going to create an empty game object. It's right above 3D object. Create empty. I'm going to name this object borders. I'm going to make sure that its position is just kind of set to 0, 0, 0 because this thing isn't really anything. And I'm going to group all of these borders together and drag them on top of where our empty game object is. And you can see it's highlighted. And then when I drop them, it creates this drop-down menu.
Awesome. Can you zoom in on that? It basically shows that game objects can be treated, in a sense, kind of like folders. They can have sub-objects, and so you can organize them together by, like, type, stuff that when you want it to move, you want it to move together. And so you can clear up your hierarchy.
Yeah, I find it very convenient. So the next thing we're going to want to do is actually be able to distinguish this gray object from other gray objects, because our arena just kind of looks gray and sad and boring. So in our assets, we have our scenes folder. I'm going to create a new folder named materials. Bet you guys can guess what we're going to create in our materials folder.
Nice materials.
Well, okay, materials.
So, Adina, what exactly is a material in Unity?
So a material is a very useful thing. On our, if you ever want to kind of decorate your 3D objects, in this case, we're going to just give it a color. So it'll, our 3D objects will all just be one color. But if you ever have like an image or a picture or like a texture of some sort, you can just kind of create a picture of this and then drag it onto this game your 3D game object, and it will then texture your object.
Yeah, so you can bring in, you know, how you want the light to interact, what texture you're using, and bring it all together to tell the computer how you want this 3D object to be displayed. Since there's, you know, more than one way that an object can be rendered. Is it really shiny? Is it really glossy? Do you have, you know, bump maps on it so it, the shadows interact with a different way? But that's all stuff for a more advanced lecture. Right now, we're just going to make it a pretty color.
I'll show you guys where some of these settings lie once we actually create our material. So if you look, I brought up the menu by right-clicking, create. And instead of folder, we're going to scroll down to where it says material. You can kind of take my word that that was material. New material is going to be ground material, probably our material for the ground. I'm going to create another new material, and I'm going to name this one collectible material for our collectibles that we are going to be collecting in this game. So now we need to assign it a color. And we do this by when you click on it in our inspector, this menu pops up. And over here, there's like a little color selector. If you click on it, it brings up a color selector.
That's handy.
I know. I'm going to make my ground material blue, and then my collectible material, I'll make green. So now, here's the toughest part. You guys have to watch carefully here. If we drag our ground material into our scene, oh, there we go. It gives me the option.
Unity knows automatically what object you're hovering that material over, and it says, oh, you want to apply this material to that object.
Exactly. So if I drag and drop it onto our plane right here, click on ground, and now our material is now a ground material.
Can you zoom in on that?
Yes, I can.
You could totally set that in the inspector by just, you know, adding a material and choosing the one that we just did, but this is just a little shortcut. In the same way, right-clicking the hierarchy and hitting create is a little shortcut to, you know, making it a game object.
Some of the settings that Tobias and I were talking about before, you can kind of see once you click this drop-down menu here.
Excellent.
Awesome. So now we have created our playing field. There's not really much to do here. The last thing we are going to do, just to make sure that everything is set up correctly, I changed my directional lighting. Just make sure that my rotation is X50, Y60, just because of the way that it ends up lighting our scene.
Yeah, just because it looks nicer. But that's something, of course, you can tweak on your own.
Feel free to play around with these values. So the next thing we're going to do is actually create our collectible. We are going to do this by right-clicking and creating another cube, a 3D object cube. I'm going to rename this cube collectible. Oh, it does not say collectible. Now it does. So our collectible is now invisible on our field. If I reset its origin point, now you can actually see it. Pops into view.
You can also reset it instead of having to manually go in and type 000. There's a little gear next to that component in the editor, and you can click that and hit reset. It'll automatically zero everything out for you.
Yep, pretty much. So right now it's kind of just sitting in the middle of our field. I'm just going to raise it up a bit so we can see if we zoom in our scene view. It's kind of hovering over our ground instead of being in our ground. And I'm just going to change its rotation to 45, 45, 45. You can see in our game view that looks much more collectible-y.
Mm-hmm. Always but reminds me of those collectibles in Mario Kart 64. But exactly. I might have played that at a very impressionable age.
Well, I don't know. I think those Mario Kart collectibles are just very... They just, like, scream, collect me. So that's why the impression we were going to want to give as well.
Nice, simple shape, but shows something cool is going on there.
Also, if you haven't saved yet, please save.
Yes. Hit Control-S often.
Yes. So in our assets, we have materials, scenes. Now we're going to create a third folder called scripts.
This is where we're going to put some code in, right?
Right, exactly. We are going to write our first bit of code. And we're going to do this in our scripts folder. We are going to create new C# script right here. Second option in my Unity editor. I'm going to name this script item rotator. And you can see once I zoom in, I have camel cased it, which means that the beginning of each word has a capital letter to be able to distinguish it. Item with a capital I, rotator with a capital R. If I double click this script right now, it's going to open in my favorite editor, which in this case by default is set to Visual Studio. Turns out that's also my favorite editor. If you're using a Mac, it's probably going to open MonoDevelop. It will behave very similarly, so you'll be able to write the code in the same way because you'll be able to see this same thing pop up on both MonoDevelop and Visual Studio.
And you could also use the Visual Studio Code, our lightweight editor, on a Mac or Windows as well. But it requires a little bit of extra work. But again, that is not the scope of this talk.
Right. So right now, by default, this whenever we create a new C# script, this is what it automatically generates. Using Unity Engine, using system.collections, public class, whatever you named your script, extends mono behavior, start function, update function.
It's important to note that it makes it based on what you first named a script. And often I see people who are new to Unity will make a C# script and just kind of like what, you know, as you were typing earlier, oh, I had a typo, let me just rename that file and fix that. But then they don't actually rename the typo in the script file that was created. And so then the class is a different name than the file name. And so it's exactly. important to double check that those two names match. Whatever they are, they should match.
Yep, definitely. As you can see up here, if I had kind of named it something wrong and then tried to edit it back in the Unity editor, this would have still said item rotator. It wouldn't have updated. So you would have to update that yourself to make sure that it's consistent.
Kind of a tangent, but it is a common question I get with people, so I wanted to point it out.
Yep. So as this start function, anything that needs to be initialized or anything that you would want to happen at the start of the game will go in here. An update is called once per frame, which means that at every frame, this code will execute. Now, it's kind of important that we distinguish frames versus time. So frame rate will differ depending on what computer you're on or how the settings of how you're running your game. It's not really consistent across machines. However, time is a universal constant. So if you ever want to have something like movement, let's say, movement probably should not be updated per frame, but rather based on time, because otherwise you're going to have blocky movement.
Now, you still might want to have that in your update code, but you just will then have to factor in how much time has passed.
Exactly. So right now we are going to add one line of code under update. And it is going to be transform with a lowercase t dot rotate with an uppercase R and then in parentheses new vector with a capital B, V vector 3, and then in those parentheses 15, 30, 45. Outside those parentheses, star, which means multiply, times time dot delta time.
Excellent. So what is delta time, Adina?
Yeah, what did I just write? Let's break this down really quickly. First off, save, and you can see Visual Studio tells me that I've saved because this jumps to green. So let's break down this line of code right here. Transform, which as you recall when we were looking at the inspector, our transform has three different properties. Our transform has position, rotation, and scale. So transform.rotate is probably going to change its rotation.
Makes sense.
Our vector 3, which I very just poorly highlighted, has our x, y, and z values, x being 15, y being 30, z being 45.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a collection of those three numbers, just like in math, as a three-dimensional vector for how we're going to rotate it in 3D space.
Exactly. Now, why are we multiplying it times time delta time? Well, time delta time, actually, if you hover over it in Visual Studio, it'll...
Awesome. Nice IntelliSense highlighting.
Yeah, IntelliSense highlighting will actually tell you straight up right here the time in seconds it took to complete the last frame. Well, that's really convenient. That means I don't have to calculate between frame rates all by myself. Thanks, Unity.
Automatically handles that. That's great.
Right. So now we're rotating it not based per frame, but actually per time. So now if we go back to our Unity editor, you can actually click on item rotator. And in the inspector, it'll pop up that your code has changed. And now we have our newly added line of code.
Mm-hmm. In real time?
In real time. If you don't see that in real time, you might want to refresh over here. I right-clicked, and where we have create, refresh.
And also make sure it's saved in the Visual Studio, because I've often had that where I'm like, wait, why did my code work? Oh yeah, I forgot to save.
Right. So now we can drag item rotator onto collectible.
So just like with the material, you just drag and drop onto the hierarchy at this time, and it'll create a new component onto that game object.
Right, and if you click on it in the inspector, item rotator should now be on there.
Excellent.
If we click play, look at that. It's rotating.
Hey, it's rotating the 3D. That's great.
Right.
That's exactly what we wanted. Always good when the code works first time.
I know. So there's going to be one more thing that I do real quick, and that is, remember we made that collectible material?
Mm-hmm.
I made mine green. So if I drag it onto collectible, now it's green.
There we go.
Cool.
Now it rotates and it looks pretty.
I know. It's like really great. It almost feels like we're making a game here.
Almost.
So real quick, we're going to make our game. We just made, as you saw, one screen kind of popped up when I pressed play. Now we're going to make it look like VR, where it projects into each eye.
Excellent.
Awesome. So the first step to making it VR capable is delete your main camera.
Oh no, why did we delete that? Don't we need it?
Yeah, we do need it, but we don't need that one. Actually, we need a special Google Cardboard camera, which under our cardboard assets and under a folder called prefabs, there's going to be a special prefab called Cardboard Main.
And this is the stuff that we imported back in the beginning of the project.
Right. So if we drag Cardboard Main into our scene, you can kind of see a new camera.
And this one's special because there are technically two cameras attached to it, one for the left eye and one for the right eye.
You can't see that right now, but if you actually, in the hierarchy, kind of drop down all of the drop-down menus, you can kind of see under main camera, we have a main camera left and a main camera right, one for each eye under cardboard main. Cool. Now if we press play.
That looks very 3D. Weird.
Yes. But right now you can see it's projecting into each eye, and the camera is now separated into the left eye and the right eye.
Which, of course, looks a little weird on your computer screen.
Right.
It's also worth noting the concept of a prefab in Unity, which is a collection of game objects, components, property values that you can save as a file to then store in your editor and, as seen here, that Google already ahead of time made these cameras, set it up just perfect for their settings, and then we got that file that we can drag back into our scene.
Oh, Tobiah, I was going to get there.
Stepping on you.
It's like a template, that's very useful if you're creating multiple kinds of the same object, which in our game, we're going to have probably multiple collectibles. So we're probably not going to want to have one game object over here that's collectible. We're going to want to have multiple templates of collectibles once we add more scripts and more properties to them. But we'll handle that in a bit. Right now, we're not quite done with our main camera. So right now, if you select the main camera under Cardboard Main, scroll down, there's a component that we have to add under Add Component all the way at the bottom. I'm going to click that, and in the search bar, PHY, Physics Raycaster. Not the 2D one, there's a 3D one. The regular old Physics Raycaster. And essentially, what this is doing is, if you guys remember from geometry, a ray is a line. So this is essentially going to invisibly point a line at any 3D object and kind of tell us whether or not we're interacting with that. So it's the difference between like our camera just kind of looking around in space versus am I touching this 3D object? Am I touching it? Yes, I am.
Touching it based on the direction that your eye is facing.
Right. So it's like almost like there's a line shooting out from our camera.
Makes sense.
Yep. And there's one more thing that we have to do. In cardboard prefabs, where we found cardboard main, there's one folder, which in my editor is at the top, called UI. If we double click on that, there is one prefab that is in this folder all alone called cardboard reticle. And I will show you what a cardboard reticle is real quick, but first we have to drag it and parent it under our main camera. So what it should look like is main camera, and then it should have three things underneath it. Our main camera left, our main camera right, and our cardboard reticle. And a reticle in VR essentially helps us figure out what we're looking at. And with paired with the Raycaster, it can kind of tell us, are we looking at this 3D object? Yes, no? So this appears on when we play our scene, this white dot that's now in the middle of our camera. And after we attach more scripts and more fun stuff, it'll actually expand when we're looking at a 3D object that we can interact with. Isn't that fun?
Sounds great.
So last thing, right now in our game view, see, this is why I like having the game view. We can kind of tell, like, this is not really set up so that's fun to play our game. I'm going to reposition my camera so that we can actually kind of see our scene.
Instead of being in the middle of it, we're kind of looking down at it.
Right, because it kind of added it at 000. But it took me a while to play around with these values, and you can feel free to put in your own. But I, over here in the inspector, set our position to be X0, Y11, Z-16, with a 45 X rotation. And it kind of, I think it makes it look good in our game.
Sounds good to me.
And this is actually going to be the end of part one. We have kind of set up our scene and made it VR capable, put our beginnings of our collectible in our scene. We are going to add in part two, you will see that we will actually make our collectible collectibly, as well as add a game controller that will keep track of our score and a you win bit of text.
Awesome. Great. Well, then we'll see you all in part two.